Hi, folks. My name is Sean King. I'm here on the phone with Jack Goodwin, the musical director for the New York Choral Society. Jack, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Sean. Thank you very much.
Now, I don't know. I love the choral music. I don't know much about it. So you're going to have to walk me through this stuff using very small words. First of all, what is the New York Choral Society?
New York Choral Society is one of the large symphonic choirs here in New York City. We are a singing membership of approximately 170 people. These are people that come from all walks of life. They are bound together by two common things. One of them is a great love for singing combined with the ability to sing, and the other of them is that they chose to make their living doing something other than music. These are all volunteer singers.
Wow, I didn't realize that. You said symphonic chorals. What's the difference in chorals? Are we talking about is a barbershop quartet a choral compared to...
Sure, yeah. Choral music refers to any group of people that comes together to sing, whether it's in a school or in a church or a synagogue, or a group like mine, which is more community-based. It's called symphonic choral, a symphonic choral group because we traditionally perform with large symphony orchestras in the large major halls like Carnegie Hall and Avery Fisher Hall here in New York City.
The old joke is, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? You guys practice a lot. My friend Lauren Finkelstein is involved in the choral group, and you guys do a lot for a volunteer group. You guys do a very lot of practice, don't you?
We sure do. We rehearse every single week during the academic year, November through May, and we do five or six discrete performances a year, some of which we produce ourselves and some of which we hire ourselves out.
And you play at Carnegie Hall.
That's correct.
That's amazing. We were there this past year. What an incredible building. Does it feel like Carnegie Hall to you guys, or is it just the place you play?
It absolutely feels as magical as it does to anyone every time that we're there. You know, the very first concert I conducted in Carnegie Hall, I spent most of the afternoon prior to the concert standing across the street looking at it, not believing that I was going to get that kind of opportunity. And even though I don't stand on the street all day any longer, I still feel that way when I walk into the hall.
It really is a magical building when you think of all the people, the musicians, the everything that's performed in that building over the years. Is that the New York Choral Society Group's home?
It is our home, yes. We hold most of our rehearsals in a rehearsal space that's in the building, not in the main hall. Mm-hmm. And we do consider it our home performance space, even though we have performed in halls all over New York and, for that matter, all over the world. We're just recently back from a concert tour to Venice. We sang in San Marco in Venice.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Tell us about what you guys are planning for the Christmas. You have a traditional Christmas choral event going on. Tell the folks about that.
Yes, we have a Christmas celebration at Carnegie Hall, which we have been doing every year for many years now. And I like to describe this concert as being family-friendly, festive, and fun. And that's hard to say. Don't ask me to say it again. There's a wide variety of music on the program. Most of it tied directly to the season.
What are you performing?
We're performing works by a number of different composers. Probably the most recognizable name to the lay audience would be Dave Brubeck.
Oh, yeah.
Four movements from a piece that he wrote. The full piece is called La Fiesta de la Posada, and we're doing four of the big festive numbers from that piece.
That sounds Mexican. Brubeck isn't Mexican.
He is not Mexican, but he says that he was raised in a Mexican community in California, and the Fiesta de la Posada is tied to a really charming tradition in Mexican communities of Joseph and Mary wandering, trying to find a place to stay. Posada being the Spanish word for inn. And in the towns all over Mexico, and probably in Mexican communities here in the States, they stage these elaborate community-based parades through the streets of town with Joseph and Mary trying to find a place to stay and getting turned down. And then finally, by arrangement, they arrive at the place that will take them and the entire community that's following them and have a big party.
So you guys won't be doing this up Times Square, though?
No, we will not. We will be confining ourselves to Carnegie Hall.
I assume with you being the musical director, you chose the pieces involved. It's interesting reading the website, folks. The website is nychoral.org. Reading what you've chosen on the website, there's a very eclectic group of musicians and types of music in this. Is this to show off the chops of the choral group, or why did you make these choices?
We're always looking for something new and interesting. One of the things that I love about this program in particular is that everything on the program is new for the members of the chorus.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them may have sung some of these pieces in other groups at other times in their lives, but as an organization, we've never performed any of these pieces. And it's really, and so it's great for our audience, and it's great for our singers. So what we look for is music that is both accessible, but also challenging to the singers. Our singers are pretty sophisticated musicians, and so we can't dumb things down for them, and our audience doesn't want them to be dumbed down either. We're doing a wonderful piece by an English composer named John Rutter. It's a pretty well-known piece. It's a setting of the Gloria text, and it's a tricky piece. It's a real tricky piece, but it's very bright, very, very festive, you know, lots of brass. Audiences always love it. Big opening, big ending to the piece, you know.
Will you be playing with the New York Philharmonic or the New York Symphony?
No, we contract our own orchestra.
That's okay.
What we call the New York Choral Society Orchestra. We're actually entering into an agreement just now, as we speak, for the Brooklyn Philharmonic to become our partner orchestra.
How does that work? Do you guys sit with the symphony itself and you all practice together? Do you all go off to your separate rooms and only come together on game night, so to speak?
It's sort of like coming together on game night. The chorus itself rehearses, as I said earlier, every week, once a week, with piano. And then when we come to what's called concert week, we'll rehearse two or three times with the orchestra. Orchestras traditionally pick up their music more quickly than choruses do. There's many, many reasons for that. It's not because they are necessarily better musicians,
mm-hmm.
but they tend to play a lot more than singers sing, and so it comes a little bit more easily to them sometimes.
Do choral groups in general, or your group in particular, work better with certain kinds of music? Is your group better at the classical stuff or jazzy stuff, or it gives folks a sense of the kind of music they can see year-round or hear year-round from the choral group?
Well, you hit the word earlier. The word I would use is eclectic,
no.
And when people look at our website, they can look at our performance history and see what we've done in every 5-year period, and it's a wide, wide variety of music. As an example, the last concert that we're doing this year, we're doing works by Philip Glass and
wow.
George Gershwin.
Wow.
Now, that's quite a combination.
It really is, and quite a range on the scale of music, that's for sure.
No question. In fact, we came up with the idea of pairing those two because Philip Glass was born the same year that George Gershwin died, and
okay.
so it'll have been 70 years. 1937 was that particular year. So when we perform in May of 2007, there it is. And it's sort of an odd way to start to think about programming, but when I thought about those two pieces together, I thought, here are two very deservedly famous American composers writing in very, very different styles,
yeah.
but they are both distinctly American.
When you say the word composer, a lot of us, myself included, think of the classics, the Beethovens, the Bachs. There are still people writing classical music today, aren't there?
Oh, absolutely there are. In fact, another one of the things that I love about the concert we're doing in December is that all of the music on the program is written by people who are still very much alive and very much still writing music. We are also in the process of searching for a composer to write a commissioned piece for us for our 50th anniversary season, which is not next season, but the season after. That would
oh.
be the 2008-2009 season.
Folks, can they expect traditional Christmas music? I mean, are you going to be singing carols, or is this going to be more of the, as I said earlier, the classical style of choral music?
There's a wonderful piece by an American composer named Conrad Sousa, and it's called A Christmas Garland, and it is a suite of traditional Christmas carols. People will, anyone who has ever heard Christmas carols will recognize the tunes in that piece.
So folks will be able to sing along?
Yeah, they probably will.
Whether you like it or not.
That's right.
That might get kind of distracting for you guys. You're someone like me off key in the third row.
Well, yeah, but it, you know, you remember the spirit of the concert.
True.
And it would be okay.
Folks, the concert is the Christmas at Carnegie Hall. The website is nychoral.org. It's December 4th, so make sure it's a Monday evening. Make sure you go to the website and get your tickets soon. This sells out every year too, doesn't it?
I beg your pardon?
Your show sells out every year, doesn't it?
It does very well, yes. The Christmas program is always very popular. We also have our traditional guest artists on this program are a group called the Young People's Chorus of New York City.
Mm-hmm.
And these are teenage and younger singers, and they are absolutely incredible. They're conducted by my friend Francisco Nunez. They sing along with us on some of the numbers, and they also do a short set of their own, and they are amazing.
I'm reading on your website about Libby Lanson's Ringeltas with Handbell Choir. What is that?
That's right. Libby Larson wrote this wonderful piece called Ringeltänze. It's based on German Christmas carols, although it is sung in English. And we have friends from a church in New Jersey that are a handbell choir, a very good handbell choir. And so they're going to be performing with us as well.
When you say handbell, do you mean actually ding, ding, ring, ring, handbells?
Yeah, they're handbells. And if you've never seen a handbell choir in action, it's really amazing. There are, maybe as many as 20 handbells on a table in front of three or four people. And they pick them up at very rapid speed. And, you know, they're changing bells to change pitch. And
wow.
It's quite amazing. And it's these beautiful, beautiful ringing tones.
Who gets input on the music that you guys choose? Are you, and forgive the term, a dictatorial music director where your word is law, or does the choral group have a committee that gets together to decide what they're going to play?
We do have we have many, many committees in the New York Choral Society. Our music committee is one of those many committees, and the music committee recommends programs. I am, of course, an active member of that committee. In fact, I'm an active member of almost every committee.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to remember with a group like the New York Choral Society that the group really belongs to the singers. They invest their time and their talent, and they also invest a fair amount of their own money into the chorus. And so it's very important that the chorus's wishes be represented. So the music committee is made up of singers, as are almost all of the committees.
But you don't choose music that's easy for them to sing, though. You want to try to find stuff that challenges them as singers, too.
Absolutely. And I think that's part of the identity of the New York Choral Society. When people come to sing with us, as opposed to one of the other many, many choirs that are here, many, many fine choirs that are here in New York City, they come to sing with us partly because of the interesting repertoire that we do.
Who's the audience for the concert at Carnegie Hall? In your mind, is it your traditional audience, or are you reaching out for people who may never have thought to come to a choral group before?
Both. Our audience is to a certain extent related to us. All of our members do sell tickets to friends and family and colleagues. Most of our singers have very little trouble doing that, because the people who come always want to come back.
Sure.
We also advertise in traditional and non-traditional places. Of course, in December, we count on there being a lot of visitors into New York that are looking for something to do. I know when my wife and I travel, the first thing I do is look to see what concerts are going on. and so we often get people walking in like that. And then depending on the program, regular concert goers that are not related to us in any way will come because they want to hear a particular piece.
And one of those particular pieces is very traditionally a Christmas piece, the Hallelujah Choir by Handel, sorry, the Hallelujah Chorus by Handel.
Chorus, right, yeah.
But it's not a Christmas piece, is it?
That's absolutely right. Of course, the whole oratorio Messiah is not specifically a Christmas piece. The text of it, if you will, or the libretto of it, if you will, is sort of tracing the life and career of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And Hallelujah Chorus actually closes what's known as the Easter portion of that particular oratorio. Handel himself premiered it in the month of April, but over the years it has come to be seen, especially in this country, as a Christmas oratorio, mm-hmm. if you will, and Hallelujah Chorus has become signature in many, many Christmas concerts, including our own.
When it's performed well by a chorus group, it is a spectacular piece of music.
If
music never touches you, the Hallelujah Chorus will touch you. It's one of the most beautiful pieces and soaring pieces of music ever put to paper.
No question.
Does the chorus like performing those, I guess we call them old standards, or do they get tired of those things after a while?
I don't think they get tired of it. They might get tired of, those who know it well might get tired of rehearsing it. and that's true of a fair amount of the standard repertoire. But in performance, it's a completely different thing.
The website is nycoral.org. I'm looking at the list of folks that you're going to have on stage. How many people are going to be on stage at any one time on Monday, December 4th?
In the chorus, between the adult choir and the children's choir, it's going to be somewhere around 200 people up on the risers. And then we have a brass and percussion complement, keyboard and harp complement of probably 25, something like that.
Wow.
It's quite a few. When we're up there with a full orchestra, as we will be in May, the number goes up.
Must be like herding cats after a while.
Not really. Everybody is very focused on the project, and everybody, you know, there's a unanimity of purpose and intent there. Mm-hmm. So it's actually pretty easy.
Folks, the website, nycoral.org. The concert is the Christmas at Carnegie Hall, December 4th, 2006, Monday evening at 7:30. You can go to the website to buy tickets. I would encourage you to do so. We're going to hopefully be in New York that time, and maybe we'll get a chance to meet Jack and see our good friend Lauren and watch the New York Choral Society at Carnegie Hall. Jack Goodwin, musical director for the New York Choral Society, thank you very much for doing this, sir. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome, Sean. Thank you.